Airtight Game Show is brought to you by AirtightGame.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Airtight Game Show. This is episode number 5, and my name is Josh Maverick on behalf of AirtightGame.com, and I'm joined with Erock of the Long Island Lair.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
And Big Win of the Techno Students Group.
Good afternoon.
And in this episode, this all-cast show, we're going to talk about the crazy adventures that we've had in our life in the last couple weeks. So the last time we spoke to you guys was right before New Year's, when we had a series of guru interviews as well as cast shows that wrapped up the beginning of our show and the end of last year. So in this episode, we're going to talk about what we've been up to in the first couple weeks of 2012. I hope the beginning of your year has been as awesome as ours, and I'm really excited to share with you what we've been up to. So to start things off, Big Win, can you tell us a little bit about how the last couple weeks have treated you?
Pretty good so far. I basically have had a couple online interactions, also some old flings that I've had contact me in the past. So right now, for the last, week and a half, my goal was to sleep with 5 women in 1 week. And due to logistics, I could only get to 3 of them. Dang it.
So that's still pretty good. So your goal was 5 women in 1 week?
Correct.
That's a pretty lofty goal, and that's really gotta keep you up at night. No pun intended.
Well, you gotta push yourself. If you're not pushing yourself to do better every single week, then you're not doing it right in my eyes. So, one girl, I met her at a wedding last summer, and we hooked up that night using the same night stuff. And the next day, I got her phone number and whatnot, and then I ended up actually hanging out with her that weekend. She lives in Grand Rapids, which is about 45 minutes or so away from where I live in Kalamazoo. And we hung out for the day. I went up there and we just had sex all weekend and stuff like that. And then I moved back to Detroit, and then she came and visited me. And, we basically did the same thing, except this time I actually took her out. We went to the zoo and whatnot, and then came back and had sex for the rest of the day, and then she left. And I hadn't talked to her in probably about 6 or maybe 8 months. And one day, just last week, she sent me a text message saying, I totally had a sex dream about you last night, which means we should probably hang out soon. And I go, that is totally logical. And
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So she came over on Saturday. I took the day off. And, we hung out for a little while with my friends. We went out. She saw my mansion here, which is what I like to call my house. But she came over. She's like, this place is amazing. I don't ever want to leave. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, let's...
You should say, you won't ever leave. Mwahaha. And lock the door and hang her up.
Yeah. I tried. She is... she likes to claw when we're having sex. That's a little tidbit. So I have a couple scratches on me still, new ones that I'm finding as well. But we went out. I still ran the same night stuff on her. I kept building her sexual tension together, even through text messages and stuff like that. She'd send me messages during the week like, I can't sleep, just this and that. And I'm like, well, it's probably a good thing I'm not there, because I'd totally keep you up all night. And she's like, I'm totally down with that. So we were building up sexual tension. I'm surprised she didn't just jump on me as soon as she walked through my front door. We would, just banter back and forth, and finally she came over, and we went out and did our thing, and then we came back and got down to it. The other girl, she is one that I met online, and we went out a couple times. The first night we went just downtown, and I ended up sleeping with her probably 2 hours after we had met, and that was pretty awesome. But you still got to remember from the previous shows that you really got to knock out those inoculations that she's going to have against sleeping with you on the same night. And actually, I don't I have a roommate that kind of is running into that problem, so I kind of, you know, told him a few things. But, you know, you got to make sure to hit on those five objections she's going to have. Otherwise, you're going to get, you know, buyer's remorse from her, kind of, and you don't want that, because if you like her or if you like sleeping with her, you know, you're going to want to keep doing it on a regular basis. So you got to make sure to knock those things out. The third one, she is a cheerleading coach in the area. She just moved to another place, but I met her out through some friends a little bit ago, and we kind of have hooked up a few times. And I'm trying to think what else. The other two. Oh, the other girl I met online, the fourth one I met online, she is a banker, and I was trying to pull her, but I actually saw her out this weekend while I was with the other girl, and I almost went over and talked to her, but I didn't do it. I was hoping that she would come over to me, because I know I recognized her from her profile picture, and I know that she goes to these certain bars in the area every single weekend. So when I saw her out, she was with it was either a birthday or a bridal party, a bachelorette party or something, so I didn't really want to go over there and be like, hey, how you doing, you know, like, what's going on? So that was with the other girl, and the girl that likes to claw, and she and I just kind of hung out around a few other places and kind of went away. But I was texting the banker girl, like, all week long, like, you know, setting future projections, like, you know, when I email them and stuff, I use some artists and stuff, and I was like, hey, it's your future ex-husband, you know, what are you up to? And she'll laugh and stuff like that, and be like, well, so what are we going to name our kids? You know, just funny stuff like that. And if I don't hear from her for a while, I'll send her a message like, hey, the kids are wondering, you said you were going for milk and you haven't come back yet, and it's been a couple days, just wondering what you're doing. You know, just fun stuff like that. So she's really good, responsive. I might hang out with her this weekend for my birthday and see where that goes. And then the fifth girl, I actually met her a while ago, but it was never in like a sexual way. And just up until recently, she found me on Facebook, and she's been messaging me, and I've been texting her, you know, stuff back and forth. And she sent me a naked picture of her, which I thought was pretty awesome.
That's pretty sweet. I like getting those.
Yeah, so, you know, I kept asking her, like, just funny stuff, like, hey, kiddo, what are you up to? I heard there's some crazy teacher running down the street and the police are chasing after her. She kind of fits your description. Do you need me to come bail you out or what? And she'd come she'd laugh. She's a preschool teacher. And then I keep trying to meet up with her, but she just gets too drunk and then doesn't want to go anywhere. But we keep building the sexual tension through the text messaging and the phone calls and stuff like that. So at some point, I feel like it's just going to burst, and she's just going to be like, okay, you should come over and, you know, let's do stuff. So there's the three that I slept with, I was pretty proud of. You know, I pulled three in 1 week. That's good. I'd like to do four or five. But, I mean, that's a lot of fucking in 1 week. Being in a small town like this, I mean, it's not a small town, but, I mean, I'm friends with a lot of people. So in this area, you kind of run into people that are friends with the same people, you know, groups and stuff like that. So it's kind of hard to be a little discreet, but at the same time, you know, I try to branch out of the little cliques that everybody's kind of a part of. So
yeah. I mean, 5 a week is a lot. I think the most I've done is, I think I've done 4 in 3 days this past summer, which is pretty good, 4 in 3 days. So that's, I guess, that's 9 a week. I'm just kidding. It doesn't work like that. But, that's pretty sweet. So, half these girls, or at least 2 out of 5, you've met online. Right? Is that what you said?
Correct. Yeah.
So, I don't know if you mind, but what site is that from?
I use Plenty of Fish, and I also use OkCupid. But OkCupid here, they're not very, Like,
they're all 17. They're all like high school kids.
No. Oh, my God. You should see this one 18-year-old I was talking to in Ohio. Dude, this girl is a bangin'. I was like, I will drive 2 hours to come over there and just smash you out just one time. This girl is ridiculously hot. But over here, like, OkCupid, it's you have to buy, like, their premium package to be able to search for certain body types and certain characteristics.
Really? Did they just change that? Because I used to fuck around with that, like, maybe a year ago, 9 months ago, and I don't remember OkCupid. I don't never paid for it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they changed it recently, because I could have swore that it wasn't like that before, but now that I look at it again, and I was like, well, it keeps giving me girls with, like, average or a few pounds extra or, like, heavy set body types. And I'm like, that's not what I'm looking for here. I don't know what
you're doing. Oh, man, like, I like my girls with a little bit of meat on them. Like, I'm not fat, but I like a curvy bitch. Like, I don't mind, you know. Give me a J-Lo type girl all day long. But the problem with the OkCupid is you have to like, under-project. Like, you have to choose average if you want curvy girls. If you choose, like, a few extra pounds, you're going to get girls who are, like, morbidly obese. So
right. It's
just, it's tough because girls like to think they're average or whatever when they're just huge. So it's sort of hard.
Right.
You know, you have to really choose what is, I think it's, so they have swim, I think, and they have, like, athletic is what I remember.
Yeah. And you
need to choose one of those,
too. Yeah, Plenty of Fish I like a little bit better because on that one you can just put it into a grid or you can put it into a line-by-line format where you can just look at their photos. You can either look at their photos or you can kind of look at their profile with their photo. And a lot of times I just look at the picture and I'm just like yes or no. And I'll investigate a few of them. But for the most part, I think Plenty of Fish is where I get most of the action. OkCupid works here and there, but it's rarely got, like, decent-looking girls on there. I hate to say it, because they're pretty to somebody, but not me. So
yeah. So what do you have a strategy? Okay, you're on Plenty of Fish. You see a girl that you dig. Is there, like, obviously you open it, right? So you send her a message. Is there... Do you send her, like, there's two things. I think you can send, like, winks or smiles or something, and you can send a message. So that, I guess that's my first question. Then my second question is, if you do this message, what do you send?
If you really read these profiles, it's all the exact same. 99.9% of these girls are the exact same. I want an honest guy. I want a truthful guy. I don't no players, no this and that and the other thing. So a lot of times I'll send them messages. I should say this. I will only send them a marriage proposal because they're kind of at that point in their life. And if you really read a lot of their profiles, they say, don't send me a message that just says hi or hey, what's up, or you misspell what's up wrong, you know, using Z's and whatever sort of fucking, I don't even know which way people spell this shit nowadays. I mean, I know proper grammar. A lot of these girls are like, if you don't know the difference between they are, there, and there are, they're like, don't even bother messaging me and stuff like that. So really read that stuff before you end up sending them a message is kind of my advice. And use spell check because they want someone who's intelligent. So
right.
What I will send is, I actually got this from, what's his name?
Josh Maverick.
Push button. I got this from Josh Maverick. And I'll send them a message saying, you know, just wondering in the subject line. And then it'll go into, my friends say I move too fast, but I'm going to go out on a limb. Dot, dot, dot. Will you marry me? Dot, dot, dot. Oops, I meant hi. So it's saying hello, but at the same time I'm shooting them a marriage proposal, and it says I move very quickly, and I get a lot of good responses. Now the only time I will send a smiley face with my message is if their profile is riddled with them. You know, you'll see them on there. It'll either be in their name, like on their subject, or it'll be in their profile when they're talking about, you know, I love riding horses, smiley face, or I'm a down-to-earth girl with a winky face, or something like that. You know, I only send it when I see it in their profile. If I don't see it in there, I won't send it unless I start getting text messages from them or stuff along those lines. And usually it only takes me probably 4, maybe 5 messages to get their phone number, or I'll give them mine and tell them to text me. But most of the time they want you to make the first move. So
you message them that, and what do you typically get in response to that? Like, I'm guessing you probably get something, maybe I'm jumping the gun, like, wow, hey, or something, right? They're girls, so they're probably, yeah, what do you get back?
Right, they usually laugh pretty hard at that. Let me see if I can look up just a couple of them really quickly. But most of the time I get, yes, your friends do say you move too quickly, and yada, 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 but...
I mean, I'm guessing if it hits really hard, you've got something along the lines of like, haha, oh my god, you do move quick, smiley face, my name is Brittany, how are you, or something. Like, that's probably going to be, right, the typical response?
Right. Here's one that I just got recently. It says, my friends say I move too fast, but I'm going to go out on a limb. Will you marry me? Oops, I'm not high. She writes back, how big's the ring? ? And also she writes, I mean, how are you? So she's using my same type of humor back at me.
That's pretty cool. That girl, just from that one message, that girl seems like she would actually be cool to hang out with, because she seems like she's witty and probably could hold a conversation just from that one message.
Right. And so I responded with, so she says, how big's the ring? I mean, how are you? And I wrote back, magical, to answer both. Smiley face, you seem like fun. Tell me about your latest adventure. She writes back, well, I'm engaged to get married, and I'm getting a magical ring to start, with a winky face. Next, I went two tracking with a few friends in the woods, snow woods, truck, yep, that gets me smiling, and you. Asking me back, you know, what's something fun you did. So she's still using my, she's falling into the frame that I've been setting right from the get-go. So she's using my callback humor to project the rest of the conversation. So in her mind, we're getting married, she's getting this magic ring, and she's also telling me something fun she did within the last few days. And then I'll progress. I might respond just a couple more times, depending on how she responds. You know, if I get a big, long paragraph, then I'll definitely be like, you know what, email kind of takes too long. Are you textually active? And she'll usually write back, textually active, LOL. I'll be like, yeah, you know, that's my, I'll be like, okay, that was my lame attempt at getting your phone number or asking for your phone number. And like 99% of the time they send it back, but sometimes they might respond with, you know, they'll laugh at it still, and they'll just kind of be a little coy with me for just a few more messages. But then eventually I'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to give you my number. How about you text me something funny? And, you know, we'll take it from there. And I'll usually kind of drop the conversation. And if you've built up enough rapport with them, then they will, you know, they'll end up texting you, which I've had happen a few times. Sometimes I've just had them, they'll just stop altogether. Because I feel like some of these girls that are on here, they just want to do it just to try it, just to see what happens while you do online dating. So I don't think they're actually in it to meet somebody. I think they're in it just to see what it's like because somebody told them about it.
And to get a little bit more cynical, I think that some girls are just to get their ego stroked, because we all like being complimented on how pretty or good looking or handsome or smart or whatever we are.
Exactly.
So I mean, and that's just part. I think that's just part of it. But yeah, there definitely do seem like some girls on there who are high quality, really cool, and who will hang out, who will get down. I've heard, the reason I asked you what site to use is I've heard the argument that, you know, girls who are on something like Match.com
are a lot more quote unquote serious about meeting up because they're like paying for it, and so therefore I've heard that the game is like just better on there, or just it's very good on there. But I also have a friend who's on Match, and he says that most of the girls who are on Match also have OkCupid or POF profile any in addition. So I mean, I don't know. I've gone back and forth on it. One of my buddies a couple weeks ago went to a professional photographer that I recommended and got some photographs of himself, high quality, really good looking photographs, put them up on, you know, signed up for Match and put them up, and it's now working it. So that's definitely, you know, if you wanna work online game, you could definitely, one of the things you can do is, you know, get a good haircut, wear some nice clothes, maybe bring a change of clothes, get some professional or even just high quality pictures taken and put them up and, you know, build a good profile and try and work off there. That's something that I would like to do in the next couple weeks if I stop being lazy, I guess. So
I've had a photo shoot personally, but I was hungover and I was still wearing my clothes from the night before. You can actually look at it on my Facebook. It's like my hair is still a little kind of messy, but like I do my best to be like, you know, making poses here and there. But as far as photos on your Facebook, or excuse me, on your profile, you want it to be something that conveys who you are. So since I am a chef, I have a picture of me eating this giant cheeseburger that we made one day and making kind of like a funny face near it. Also, you know, I like music, so I got a picture of me playing. Somebody took a picture of me playing the piano at a piano bar that we have here. So a lot of girls in the area recognize that instantly. They're like, oh, you're at Monaco. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. I play a little bit. You know, I kind of downplay it. So also there's pictures of me playing guitar with some people on stage, a couple other things along those lines. I got a picture of me on my boat with my shirt off. And if you I haven't looked at any other guys' profiles, but I always get girls saying, you know, no pictures of you with your shirt off and yada yada. And I actually wrote the caption, look, an actual reason for me to have my shirt off, not just me standing in front of a mirror, you know, because that's where a lot of people do that stuff. You see a lot of guys, a lot of girls with their photos of them in front of a mirror taking a photo with their phone or their camera, whatever it is, and then they post it up on the web. So I was like, an actual legitimate reason, and I think I look pretty good in that picture. And then there's also, you know, ones of me like ice skating because I love playing hockey and stuff like that. I'm actually trying to get a couple photos of me at my karate class just randomly doing stuff because that's another thing that I like to convey is, you know, I teach women, you know, self-defense and stuff like that. So as long as you can convey who you are in those photos, you'll have more likely of a chance of them messaging you first as opposed to just having, you know, one profile picture of you sitting there with a beer in your hand. That's something you really want to stay away with.
Yeah, I haven't put that much time into online games, to be honest. I had a profile, I guess a couple of years ago, that I resurrected about a year ago for LOLs, which is kind of funny. But I think I've only ever... Well, when I had it up for a couple of weeks, and I did meet one girl, and I did full close one girl off of it. And that the story with that one girl was that she messaged me first. Actually, she sent me a wink on one, I forget which site, you could send winks, and then I responded to a wink by saying, you can't just look at me like that and not say hello, it's rude, like, silly face, you know, whatever, and then started the conversation, and met up with her, blah, blah, blah. But I've found that if you can get a girl to message you first on one of these sites, like, your close rate is like astronomical with those girls. It's probably like 90%+ of girls that message you first. It's just really a matter of you being cool and not fucking it up and getting her out. Like, sure, he likes you, so.
Right.
So I guess that brings this question. Out of those girls that you closed recently, were these girls that you messaged, or did a couple of them message you first, or what?
I believe one of them messaged me first. The other one I messaged first, which is kind of funny because she only had one profile picture and it only showed half of her face. But her profile was hilarious. and I think she deleted it since then. I've actually had that happen a couple times where girls will delete their profiles after I've either hung out with them or met them because they're like, oh, I don't need this anymore because I met, you know, this guy.
So, yeah, I've had that happen quite a bit too. And even just like the turnover rate's pretty high in those sites. Like, you know, if you message a girl and she's really hot, you can imagine that she's getting a zillion messages. And, you know, I've noticed like some particularly hot girls, and it doesn't just go by hotness, but some girls will only be on there for, I don't know, a couple days to a couple weeks, if that, sometimes. And you gotta really, like, I had a girl where we were doing like every 4 or 5 days, we messaged each other back because I was trying to, like, play it cool. I would, like, mirror her, like, 4 or 5 day-long response. And I think in some areas this is okay. In this area, it's really, in my advice, is just, you know, she will, like, 4 days. As soon as you see it, just respond to it because, like, she could be off there in the next day. And that's what happened with a couple girls, like, hot girls. Like, it's a good vibe going back and forth, but it was just too long. And I logged back on, and it's like, this user has deleted their profile. I'm like, fuck me. So, I mean, there appears, I don't know how it is in a smaller city, like where you live, Matt, but in a big city like Atlanta, where I live, the turnover rate's pretty high. Like, girls, like, people have options, like, and you have to really, more than in other places, you got to strike while the iron's hot.
I actually heard that Atlanta is one of the number one places to be single and get a date, actually. I'm pretty sure out of the top 10, that's number one.
I don't know. I do well here, and I love this city, and I love the women in the city, and the city loves me. And so it works for me. I don't know for anybody else, but
this girl, yeah. she sent me a message. Well, actually, I messaged her first. I forgot, but I still say my friends say move too fast, yada, yada. She wrote back, I'd have to agree with your friends and say that was rather forward of you, LOL. I am flattered you asked, but I'm afraid I'm not ready for such a big commitment, but hi to you as well. So I say, that's okay. You seem like fun. Tell me about your latest adventure. Always ask about their random adventures. Frame them as being adventurous. And then she writes, you know, my latest adventure, I went to the Mediterranean. It was amazing. I'm a huge history nerd and all incredibly fascinating. Rome was my favorite. I wish I could spend a little more time there. My next endeavor is to find a teaching job. Here's to hoping. And then I say, okay, you know, tell me 3 interesting things about you. That's kind of an old thing that we do.
Wait. Let me ask you. So she responds to all that, and did you acknowledge it, or did you just go straight into tell me 3 interesting things?
I said, nice. So what are 3 interesting things about you that would make me want to get to know you better? And they can't be about your job or your looks because I can already see that you're cute. Ready? Go.
That's a pretty hard qualifier on top of not a lot of praise for that paragraph she just sent you. I don't know.
You should see the third paragraph that she sent me. She actually responded to this. She actually wrote, well, I suppose one semi-interesting fact is I'm artistic and on the crafty side. To most, and sometimes I agree, spending too much time putting scrapbooking together is an incredible waste of time, but I love it. Something about looking at my memorable moments in the eye, or in an eye-appealing fashion, and all the hard work that goes into that great feeling. I'd love to read, but only books that my students / enjoy or suggest. I like being able to relate to my students who read and encourage those who struggle. I feel the best way to accomplish both is to read their kinds of books, so that I might be able to suggest a book for a student that they would like. What else? She says, I love food. There are a few things that I will not eat, but I will usually shy away.
Okay, I don't need this girl's whole life history. But
well, she just gave me 3 paragraphs of, you know, that.
Well, I know. It's, you know what? She probably doesn't even like you. She probably just likes to write and was bored.
Well, she also asked me, I hope that works for you. Your turn, 3 interesting things, and I haven't responded back yet, and that was 2 days ago, I think she wrote me. Let's see. Yeah, 2 days ago.
I think you need to, like, you need to email her, like, a 80-page PDF, like, thesis about you.
I was thinking about something like that, like, write her a book.
Yeah, mail her a hardcover textbook of your life.
Right. But I'm going to tease her for, you know, I encourage students who read and, you know, books that they suggest me to read and be like, so you're pretty fluent with the Harry Potter series then. You know,
that's pretty good.
She obviously teaches children. So, you know, that's a kid's book right there that spans from, you know, child to adults. I mean, I haven't read the books personally. I just, you know, watch a movie here and there.
Yeah,
you know,
so you do the messaging. Sorry, go ahead.
It's relating humor that she's giving me that I can use back with her. You know, it's taking what she's saying and just making it a little bit absurd, but at the same time, it's relevant to the conversation.
So basically, doing the messaging stuff, getting the number, and then after that, I'm guessing it's typical phone text game and getting her out, just typical, it's typical after that, right?
Yeah, you know, I invite them to come to my self-defense class that I teach, and usually this girl is actually pretty down for it, but she has logistical problems with her getting there by 7:30 at night. She's got class at night as well for college, so I was like, you can totally miss one class to learn how to defend yourself for the remainder of your life. Mace isn't going to save you. You are going to save you. So I kind of put that little bit of fear in them, but at the same time, they understand, and they're like, yeah, you know, I totally want to do that. So actually yesterday in my class, I had to do the – I had to be the rapist and rape three women in the class.
Again?
Again. You know, the girl that gave me the scratches, you know, she was trying to fight me off. I'm just teasing,
nice.
But we have to put them through that scenario so they know what it's like. Because, you know, it's not going to be, just to quickly hit on it, you know, it's not going to be a guy walk up to you and be like, hey, I'm going to rape you. And be like, oh, wait, you're getting your mace out? Okay, I'll stand here and wait for you to do that. You know, it's not going to happen. They're going to jump out from around a corner. They're going to tackle you to the ground. And you got to be ready to fight them off. So
yeah.
I teach them that, and then they love it. And they want to come back. And we go out afterwards. And then I end up, you know, choke slamming them later with my penis. So...
literally, to death.
So, but that's cool. A whole other conversation altogether. But let's hear about you guys and your trip to New York that I wish I would have been on. But
So I did some approach coaching for the first time on a program, on a boot camp. That was a lot of fun. That was 4 days actually out of 7 days straight. Going out and doing cold approach in a row, which I had actually never done before. I had done about, you know, 5 days and a day off and go again, but I had never done 7 days, which was great. It built up a lot of momentum. I did feel like I wanted to take, I did choose to take 1 day off after that, but it was a great experience. Approach coaching in itself was great, just watching sets that were run by Josh and breaking them down. Help breaking them down for the student was a great experience for me. Besides being obviously for the student, it was just great for me. I think it helped me a lot. Really, just it's really like a leadership experience as well as obviously learning by seeing by being around the instructor, which happened to be Josh at the time. So that was fun. We were in the city, which is New York City, for anyone listening outside of the New York area. New York City. Had some great times there. Let's see. Let me think. I had a few sets. Apparently there was a naked subway ride, or like a pantsless subway ride, a set told me. I'm not sure if you'll remember this set, Josh, but I opened a moving set at some little bar in like somewhere in New York City. I just opened a single. It was a single moving set. I just, like, grabbed her elbow, turned her around. I was like, you're totally fucking adorable. I just had to say hello to you. Who are you? And she was like, well, my name's blah, blah, blah. And I just got back from the pantsless subway ride, which I didn't know existed. So that was an interesting set.
That seems really awesome. And also, if you know New York City, really fucking gross at the same time.
Yeah. Apparently, she said it was two cars, so two subway cars full of people doing it. I guess they were just in their panties for the girls and boxers for guys, which is, at the same time, cool, but also, like, I don't know if I'd want to sit on those things with my bare skin.
Yeah, it's really pretty suspect. And it's, like, literally the middle of winter, so that can't be good.
Yeah, so there was that. With some nice, started to pour into me by her hips and a nice Kino, and she told me that she had snuck into the bar because she lost her ID. She looked about, you know, she was probably 22, 23, so I believe her that she actually did just lose her ID. The bouncer came over. I felt somebody, you know, how you feel somebody coming over your shoulder, but I didn't turn my eyes away from her eyes. She said, he's coming. So I said, it's all right, just don't look at him, just look at me. We're just having a conversation, it's fine, don't worry. Like, so what about you, blah, 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 whatever thread I was going down at the moment, and he walked away. She was like, oh my God, that's so cool. You made him walk away, like I did something. Like, you made him walk away. But he actually then returned with five other bouncers and threw her out. But that was cool. He just grabbed her and he was like, yeah, you can't do that. He's like, get the fuck out of my bar. So that was a great way to end the set.
Oh, yeah, that was a little bit absurd.
Yeah, it was fun though. I enjoy those types of experiences. I mean, I do wish it could have followed its natural course without interruption, especially a set like that, which is ridiculous, that she had just, like, gotten off of no pants. Apparently this is a thing that I didn't know about. It's like a thing that people post on YouTube, and I'm not sure if it's supposed to make a point or something, but it's a pants. She just got off the pantsless subway ride in the city. So there was that. I really enjoy the city. For me, coming from Long Island, it is a bit of a difference in terms of, I'm not sure how to say it, maybe atmosphere, everyone, maybe just the attitude, the atmosphere. If you ever go to certain places, I'm not going to say, there's really nowhere that's impossible to game, because there's not. But there are certain places where maybe it feels like people have a little bit of their guard up more. You get those venues where you get a lot of blowouts and then one set will stick. Like, I never think there's a venue where a set can't stick. It's just that instead of getting like a friendly, like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom with my friends. You just get harsh blowouts and then one will stick. It could just be my own limiting belief. I enjoy the vibe in the city. I feel it's slightly different than here on Long Island.
So you're saying in the city, it's not like that. It's you don't get as harsh blowouts. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And not even, it's not even everywhere on Long Island either. It's just that it's actually not most places. It's just that there are some places where guys in my community will say, oh, no, it's like it's really tough there. I'm not going to say it's not impossible. It's just that the sets that don't work maybe will be a little harsher, and you'll still have the same number of sets that will hit, stick, hook.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. I agree with you. I love the vibe in the city. In the city, it felt like everybody was just there to have a good time. They're open-minded, non-judgmental. Like, if your approach wasn't great, they're just like, eh, whatever. Like, that's how I felt, which is weird because people have said, like, New York City's hard, but I don't know. That place was, like, easy-peasy, man. That was New York City was so easy. The real issue in New York City was just to completely fuck the logistics, especially for somebody like myself who is not from there, or rather, I guess I grew up in Long Island, but who doesn't live in the city. I haven't lived there in 7 or 8 years. I had a hotel that was, like, far and just weird, and I don't know, it was just absurd. And then you have people from, like, New Jersey and people from, like, Long Island and Brooklyn and stuff. So that was the thing for me in the city was, like, the logistics. That was the number one thing. It wasn't the people, the sets, everything was great. I had a lot of great sets. I had a almost SNL one night. I was actually teaching, so I couldn't leave. I had just gotten there like 45 minutes beforehand, so I could just fucking peace out with this girl. But that was the number one thing, was the logistics. And I agree with you, Iraq, that on Long Island, I mean, I've never I don't think I've ever had the desire to forcibly ass-fuck somebody and make them taste their own shit off my dick as much as I did with the girls that I met in Long Island with the sets went poorly.
Yeah,
I just wanted to, like, ass-rate people there. And it was just, I was like, wow, like, you are an incredible asshole. Like, it's something, it's like an attitude. It's like this attitude of, like you owe me something, or I don't want to project a limiting belief on anybody. But, you know, this is the case where things don't work. When it works, it's just like everything else. But I felt, and my experience sort of confirmed this, at least my limited experience, when it didn't work, I was like, man, you people are such assholes sometimes.
Yeah, there's a bit of an attitude, which is what I was alluding to earlier. I mean, there's certain places where you won't run into that. Even for anyone that's from the area, they'll know of the Boy Barn, which is just a great, like a festival type atmosphere in the summer, which is great. Great, open, everyone's open, everyone's friendly. Like, there's really, like, no one has their guard up. So it does also change somewhat by venue. But it's a lot of fun, though. It's a lot of fun still. And attitudes aside, I mean, yeah, it's something to deal with, but nothing's impossible.
It's definitely one of the tougher places that I've gamed in personally, and I've gamed in other continents and other countries and stuff. I mean, definitely from the attitude perspective, one of the tougher places I've gamed in. And, I mean, if you grow up doing game there, if you quote-unquote grow up in your formative PUA years doing game there, you really are not going to have a heart that as hard of a time when you come to some place like Atlanta where we have something called Southern Hospitality where people are just super fucking awesome. Or someplace like San Diego where everybody's happy because you live in the best weather planet on the spot. Or the best, that didn't make sense, the best spot on the planet for like weather and climate. You know, and, you know, or somewhere like Vegas where everyone's just out to have a good time slash occasionally rob you, I guess. You gotta watch out for that. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely easier than any of those cities. Even Vegas, but, I mean, excuse me, harder or makes you more tenacious than any of those cities, which I think, I guess the long run's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, a great example of that is last night what I did, just going out solo because I wanted to go out. No one was available. It's Tuesday night, I mean, you know, people work. I happen to have a little bit different hours than, I guess, the norm. But so I was able to go, and I did it. It was one of those times where I was telling, like, myself, should I go, should I not go, should I go out solo, blah, blah, blah. I get there, get some, like, really harsh blowouts at this particular venue, and I'm like, should I go, should I stay? I ended up staying, just, like, approach. It's really tough blowouts at this particular venue, man. And then it just happened. This girl actually opened me, and it just went really well. And it's one of those things where it's really like a microcosm of just the whole night was an example of, like, debating, should I go, should I not go? Inaction, action. Should I stay at the venue, should I not? You know, after all these harsh blowouts. It was just, I felt really good about it. I felt really good about just, like, sticking in there and making it happen. I mean, I couldn't get her. She was with a group of, I guess, let's see, it was like four guys and five girls plus her. I couldn't get her away from the group. I number closed her. It felt really strong, as strong as a number close can feel. We'll see how it goes. I'm gonna game it from there, but felt pretty strong. I mean, she opened me. It was a pretty strong vibe the whole time. So that is just an experience for those of you. Whenever you're dealing with something like that, action. It's always action, man. Should I go or should I stay? Stay. Should I even go out tonight? Yeah, you should. It doesn't matter. That's like, it just felt so good to push through all that. You guys know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really what separates the men from the boys, I think, in this game, because it gets tough sometimes, and sometimes you don't want to go out, and sometimes you you got 3 hours of sleep and you're like, oh, I should just stay in and go to sleep. You're like, oh, let me go out for an hour or two. Or let me, you know, depending on if you live somewhere where you can go out for, you know, a little bit. And I've had that so many times. And I've also had exactly what you have experienced, which is like the shittiest night just ending up in something tangible. Like, I can't tell you how many times that I've gone out and had a terrible night, and it's like one of the last sets that redeems it. I've actually had a couple SNLs that I can think of, and one, I guess, SNDJ that I can think of, where I was leaving the club, walking on the street, like, fuck, that sucked. And I saw a girl, I just approached her, and ended up hanging out with her and closing that. So it's like, it's not, and that's what I always tell people, it's like, game is not linear. It's completely not linear. So it's like, you could have a night where it's like blowout after blowout after blowout, and then you have a set that hooks and goes to a same night way. And I don't know, you can't directly attribute, you can't be like, oh, I got laid because I got blown out a million times. Or you can't be like, on the other hand, you also can't be like, I won't get laid because the last 9 sets didn't open. You know, like, it's just, it's not linear. It works on a different principle. It's not random either. I think that's important to emphasize too. It's not random. Everything you do is adding to the critical mass that's really going to make you succeed. It's just really difficult to directly attribute cause and effect. It's not as easy as you would think it could be, but that's just how the universe has decided to create this experience, and that's just how it is. So you can accept that or not, but it's just so important. I mean, that's why I tell guys to write field reports every night to go out, even if they're not pulling for, you know, days or weeks or months in a row in a slump or whatever, because the things that add up together, you can't necessarily see it while it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the one common thread in all this is that some people miss is that you have to be out there doing it. That's the one underlying principle that people go like, not go out tonight. Just like you said, whatever, I'm sleep deprived, whatever. Just go out there, man. You'll be glad that you did.
Yeah, it's super important. It's the decision of, if you don't go out, you know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, if I don't go out, I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to stay at home, I'll surf the internet, I'll go on Facebook, I'll eat some food, I'll jerk off, and I'll go to sleep. Like, I know if I do go out, I don't necessarily know what's going to happen. Yeah, I might come back empty-handed and then end up single-handed, jerking off later. Or I might not come back empty-handed and might have the craziest adventure possible. And I think leaving that option open is just super, super, super important. And taking every opportunity that you get.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that people will convince themselves, well, that doesn't apply to me. I mean, my situation, I really can't go out. But the thing about that is you're wrong. You're fooling yourself. I mean, I'm working my way through grad school right now and also have other hobbies. I play guitar. I'm into weight training. I keep up with all of it, and I make it work. So if I can do that, anyone could pretty much do anything. I mean, maybe if your job, like, sends you to Africa or something, maybe, I guess you could be like, oh, I can't do cold approach. But you can really always do it. If you're telling yourself, oh, I'm different, I really can't do it, you don't understand, you're fooling yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, my senior year of college, I was running Airtag Game with a new company, and my schedule then was crazy. It was like I was finishing a degree in physics. I had 21 units. I was running 2 research labs. I was running Airtight Game. I was weight training, doing bodybuilding at that time. I had a long-distance girlfriend who I flew every other weekend to see on the other side of the country consistently for months. And I was going out for Airtight Game, and I was going out for myself, too. And, I mean, I made all that work, all of it. I probably averaged 3, 4, maybe 5 hours of sleep per night. But, I mean, if you want to make it happen, my body got used to that. I mean, I know it's not ideal, but, you know, I made it work. You know, if you want to make something happen, like, you have all the resources available inside of you to make it happen.
Yeah. It's something I see most commonly is guys will be like, well, I had to take off the last 6 weeks because of whatever, blah, blah, blah. And you could bet that whatever that blah, blah, blah is, they could have done it anyway. And they just, the thing is, they truly believe it. It's like, well, no, no, but you don't understand. Like, me, I really can't. Well, you really can. And I hope that you will is the point. I hope you will understand that you can and just do it.
Absolutely. I guess it's my turn now to talk about the stuff that I've been up to in the last couple of weeks. So I guess we last talked before New Year's, and for New Year's Eve and that weekend, I kept it pretty low-key. I normally do very crazy, like, club blowout type stuff. People who know me know I'm a club guy. I'm always out of clubs and this kind of stuff. But this year, I was like, I'm always out of clubs. I'm there every night. And I was just like, let me just take it easy. So I went to my favorite karaoke bar. It's kind of a dive. And actually, before that, I ended up going with some of my other friends, just like rave type thing. It wasn't even rave. It was like, I don't even know what it is. It was all little kids, but like too young. Like they were like 18 or aiming to be 18, but they all look like they're like 15. And I was like, I can't even run game here. It's just like, this is not even okay. So I just left, and then I went to my favorite dive bar. And yeah, I just had PBRs and sang a song. I sang a Nirvana song, I forgot which one, and brought in the new year, and kept it pretty low-key. A couple days after that, I went off to New York City, and that was really exciting for me because I got to teach a program up in New York, and I got to see a good friend of mine and have a really great time. So, I mean, the game started as soon as I got on the plane in Atlanta. I got, like, 3 hours of sleep and got on the plane from Atlanta to New York City, and there's this cute girl standing there wearing leggings, so I go up to her and say something to the effect of, oh my god, I totally love your leggings, or something ridiculous, like 7 in the morning. And, you know, she looks at me, and she's, like, sizing me up for a second, and then she has this big smile, and she's like, oh, hey, I'm Jacqueline. I'm like, hey, nice to meet you. So I end up having this whole conversation, and I qualify her, da-da-da-da-da. Turns out she's a musician, so I qualify on her musical ability and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, unfortunately, she was going to New York City, but then she was going directly to upstate New York, I guess, where she goes to school or something. So, yeah, that was not going to happen. So, pulled off on that, went on the plane, opened the girl next to me. It was a pretty cute girl sitting next to me. Opened her, conversate with her for a while. That doesn't go too far, and I just ended up passing out, actually. So, that's always good. Landed in New York, and from there, the shenanigans begin. And I pretty much gave a free promo talk on Long Island on Thursday of that week. And I had my program, which went until, this one went until Monday tonight. So I pretty much taught for like 5 days straight, which was the longest that I've taught for straight. And sort of the longest that I've sort of been under the spotlight. And it's not a big deal to be under the spotlight. I do it all the time. But just the fact that it was 5 days and there was just so much going on and so much traveling and running around Long Island and then around the city and staying we stayed in 2 different places over the 3 days we were there. And just, it was a whirlwind. A lot of fun, though. A lot of good game was run. The logistics, like I said before, were the biggest challenge for me. I got a couple very solid phone numbers. And I had an opportunity to SNL on Friday night. About an hour after we got out to the bar, it was all systems ready to go. And I thought about it for a second. I'm not going to lie. I did think about doing it for a second. I was like, man, yeah, I really just want to grab this girl and go back to the hotel. But I was like, is it possible for us to get there in like 10 minutes? Do what I got to do and get back here in like an hour. And I was like, no, there's no way that's happening. So I just had to catch and release that one, which was pretty annoying, actually, because she was very, very attractive and very, very into me. So, and kind of the chick that I like, kind of like a little new agey and stuff like that. It was very cool. So, yeah, there was that. And then, yeah, wrapped up the program. We all had a really good time. I was working some numbers. I got pretty close
to a very attractive girl from New Jersey who's actually a professional model. And she sent me some pictures and stuff. And I believe that if I would have stayed in New York for a couple more days, I could have met up with her and closed out. But she was in New Jersey, and at that time we were in Long Island. And so this is just like an example of really just how much, I mean, I can't overstate logistics, the role that they play. I mean, it got to the point where, like, you know, I haven't been to New York in a while, but if when we do New York again, maybe the instructors will stay. I'd rather have our instructors stay at a hotel that's right next to some, like, local bars. Like, I want to go through, like, the bars that only locals know about, because, like, we went to Pasha one of the nights, and that's such a huge mega club that it's going to attract people from New Jersey, people from Westchester County, people from Long Island, you know, really far away on Long Island, Brooklyn, all this kind of stuff, you know, and that makes the logistics nearly impossible. I mean, nearly impossible. You're talking about, I got to go back to the city, or I got to go back to Long Island, and she's got to go to New Jersey, and I'm trying to SNL. I mean, that's just stupid. You know, what I want to do next time around is get the hotel next to, you know, in the East Village or something, next to the bars that locals go to, or in, you know, the upper East Side, next to, you know, the lounge that the rich kids, I guess, go to. And just do that, because you have a lot better percentage pulling a couple blocks as opposed to the next state. So I had a lot of fun. Thankfully, my student that I had that same week, a couple days after, like I think a day after the boot camp, or no, like 2 or 3 days after the boot camp, had two back-to-back same night lays after taking my program in the first week, which is just makes me happy as an instructor. And I came back to Atlanta and smashed the crap out of one of my girls for about a day and a half when I got here, so to make up for lost time. So all in all, not bad, not bad.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I got to say, that was a lot of fun. It was a great experience.
I got to read those lay reports that they put up from the program, because I want to see the genius in action. That was really cool. And I got the text message from that student saying, holy crap, I have two back-to-back, you know, SNLs the last 2 days. I was like, what the fuck? And that was pretty awesome. So.
Yeah, the funny thing about that is he texted me also. He was like laser focused. He texted me about the first one. I asked him if he wrote a lay report, and he said no, he was waiting until the next day because he felt so confident about tonight, which was ended up being the second lay. He's like, nah, I feel really good about tonight. I want to see if I could get a string of them going and write them all at once.
That's pretty good.
He did get two. I guess he didn't get three or four, but he did get two, which is pretty fucking good.
Hey, for someone who just took a boot camp a couple of days out, yeah, to go runner, I mean, that's pretty good. I'm not gonna complain about that.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him.
That's pretty sweet. Do you, without giving away any information, not any information, that's what I'm asking for, without giving away anything private, do you know if he bet from venues on Long Island or in the city?
No, it was Long Island.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. I think I'm going to go out. We're recording this on a Wednesday. You guys will probably hear this on like a Monday or something. But I'm really looking forward to tonight. I feel like that about tonight. Wednesday night in Atlanta is an amazing night. I'm super excited about it. Yeah, I'm going to go out tonight and make it happen.
Yeah, that's it. Just making it all happen, making it all work.
Big win. Anything you want to add to the mix here?
As far as going out and pushing yourself to do it, I mean, these girls aren't just going to fall into your lap unless you're an extremely good-looking guy. So you really need to make the first move. I mean, if you think about it, the woman's egg doesn't swim to your sperm. Your sperm swims to the woman's egg. Not that I'm saying go get women pregnant, but you kind of get, you know, the metaphor there. When you're sitting there being like, yeah, I don't know if I should. Believe me when I say, when I go out, I don't have anybody with me. I just go out and, I mean, I have friends that usually work at the places that I go to. So I usually go in, see them, talk to them. I talk to a lot of the servers and stuff like that, and they bring friends over, and I started talking to them, and yada, yada. But I hardly, like I've said before, I don't ever go out with a wingman. Now, I will go out with girls, but most of the time, if I am out with girls, I'm usually gaming them, or, you know, I'm sleeping with them, so I'm not really doing too much pickup at the same time. But I actually have one or two girls, I haven't been out with them in a while, that come out with me just for the sake of me being with them, as showing kind of like pre-selection, stuff like that, that they know what's going on, I know what's going on, and it's just kind of a thing that we do, and they're cool with it as far as that stuff goes, which I'm totally fine with. It helps me in the long run, and, you know, they get to drink for free, so that's kind of a win-win.
Nice.
So don't be discouraged when you're sitting at home, because, I mean, for me to drive to the bar, it's probably, I don't know, 15 miles or so to go to downtown from here, and that's where all the kids hang out, you know.
How far is that in time?
Well, for most part, it's like 55 miles per hour, so you can usually get down there like 15, maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah,
depending on
the
traffic, but later at night, it's not bad. I mean, I'm kind of out in the country a little bit, so it's not like, you know, your 8-lane highways there in Atlanta where it's bumper to bumper from 5 o'clock till, you know, 8 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, when I go out at night, it's, and I leave at night as well, obviously, it's a solid 45 minutes door to door from my door to the door of the club, I guess, to parking and walking in the club or the bar. It's 45 minutes each way, so, I mean, I definitely appreciate having to put the pedal to the metal when you want to get out there. I mean, you know, you got to plan. When you live, like, an hour away from where you want to go, you got to plan going out, like, 2-3 hours in advance, because you shower and put clothes, you know, get your clothes out and, you know, do your whole hair and do, you know, do your fucking thing. And then you got to hop in the car and drive an hour. So, I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
You got to really make this part of your life now.
Well, on top of that, whenever they ask, you know, where do you live, I say, oh, just around the corner. They're like, oh, can we walk there? No, we got to take a car. It's a little bit further than a walk. So, and then by the time they get like halfway to my house, they're like, where do you live? It's kind of like a. It's like, are we there yet? And I'm like, yeah, we're almost there. You know, it's just another mile or two down the road and whatnot. So I've never had anybody turn around on me because I think they're invested once they get in their car. And usually about halfway there, they'll be like, are we there yet? And I'll be like, yeah, it's just a little bit further up here. And then finally we get to the house, like, wow, that's such a long drive. And I'm like, honestly, it's the same distance as driving from downtown out the other direction where most people live. Like, it's literally the same direction as going to your house out on, you know, 9th or whatever street that's out there, you know, just the opposite direction of where we just drove. So, like, so now I got to drive double the distance back home. And I'm like, well, yes, but I'm totally worth it. And they're like, yeah, I guess so. And I'm like, you guess so? I'm like, come here, you little bitch. You know?
Yeah, it's always one thing I realize is, it's always 5 minutes away, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
It's always another 5 minutes.
Yeah, like, I guess if driving 10 minutes to give you multiple orgasms is too much, then I don't know. I guess we could do it in the car right here.
Naked.
Yeah. Bumping uglies.
Yeah, I hate that face. I don't know why. That face is so gross to me.
I actually just watched the video of the naked subway ride that you were just talking about. It's pretty funny.
Oh, nice. I got to check that out. I haven't even seen it.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them. There's one from like 2003. Yeah, apparently they've been doing it for a long time. That's almost a decade. At least.
So
yeah, that's I don't know. I'm not sure what that's about. That's cool. I gotta check it out.
Anyways, are we ready to wrap up over here?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. So I'm Josh Fanwerk on behalf of Airtight Games, signing out and saying goodbye and thank you for listening. And I'm joined here with E-Rock of the Long Island Lair.
All right, guys. Thanks. See ya.
And Big Win of the Techno Students Group.
Don't forget to go out there and charge.
All right, everyone, and we're signing off saying bye.